Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Summer is quickly coming to an end, and although the next several months will test each and every one of us, regardless of your location, I feel the one constant will be this podcast. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Christopher Hassler, Matt Mercier, Peyton England, Stacy Keller, Aaron Wortman, Angela Bowen, N. Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Rebecca Frederick, Jill Stellman, Whitney, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Don Roberts, and Max Duration. Thank you again for your support, and I look forward to making many, many more episodes. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863, it was a common place to meet his family. I was homeless. Hello and welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark and I'm on today with Leah Mitchell. How are you doing today, Leah?
Hey there, Mark. Doing great. Thank you.
Shut this music off. I wonder if anyone has ever written full lyrics to that.
Oh,
somebody ooh, must that'd be, have. Right?
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Pa yep. And Ma. You know, like you can. I bet you that.
A little house on, you know, the prairie.
Let's put a challenge. Let's put a challenge out there. So, anyone who writes a complete song with lyrics to the Little House on the Prairie theme song, I don't know. I have a lot of stuff. I'm going to create a very special giveaway to that person. If they record it, they record them singing or have somebody record it, they will also get a giveaway.
That'd be great.
I would just love that so much.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So,
must be an original composition though. So I don't know, if one exists, but if you could write an original lyric song, that would be great.
I'm sure it might. Yeah. After that awesome TV series, Living on a Prairie came out, I did like some YouTube Googling cause I was curious to see if anybody had sung, you know, Bon Jovi's version of like Living on a Prairie. Yeah. And there was several of them out there and they're horrible. All of them were terrible.
Oh my God.
But the lyrics were hilarious, but the videos were just god awful.
Yeah. I did want to just mention, you brought up Living on a Prairie. Such a good collection of, short films by Pamela Bob. And yeah, if you haven't checked that out, definitely check out Pamela's work. And it's so funny. It's so spot on. And it's also really modern, which I really like. It's also, I think it's also a love letter to New York. You know, there's so much New York attitude in that I just really appreciated it. I think you did too.
Oh my gosh, I absolutely did. It was just right up our alley. Like anyone who adores this show, mm-hmm. bits and pieces of Living on a Prairie is part of us.
Now,
and she did an amazing job.
Now, one of the things that is glaringly missing from both this podcast and Living on a Prairie, I've spoken to Pamela about this, is the omission, the ignoring of, and not having access to Melissa Sue Anderson. So You chose an episode, and I really have to appreciate the fact that you chose this episode. It's a Mary episode.
So yeah, which I looked back and I don't recall this podcast doing a Mary episode.
Mary's my least favorite character.
But you know what? I'm not me either, but I enjoy her in this era when she's married and Laura doesn't have Almanzo yet. Mm-hmm. There's a nice little bond between them two, and I really enjoy Mary. And
I think you mean Almanzo, by the way.
Yeah, I'll never do that.
Twist the knife.
Thank you.
But I do want to say, you know, I do have to correct what I said. Mary is no longer my least favorite character. I have to be honest. As I rewatch these things, I'm starting to see a new development of Mary with the handyman, the sassy Mary. There's so much more to the Mary character than I realized in the first 35 times I watched the series. So as I watch it this time and I pay a little bit more attention to it, I think that Michael Landon was trying very hard to develop the Mary character. And I think this episode really kind of puts a light on the fact that they were trying so many different things. One of my number one questions here is, do you want to talk about what the episode is and all of that stuff?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's do that real quick.
Yeah.
So like you said, we're doing The Enchanted Cottage, and it is season 5, episode 21. And, it aired February 26th. 1979.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, so we're well into the success of Little House on the Prairie. The character, you know, Laura's growing up. We have Albert that's introduced, and we have Mary, who's now married but blind. Is she married?
Yeah. She was. So yeah. I did a little timeline. Let's see, Mary. So yeah, she. So this is season 5. The last episode of season 4 is when she went blind and met Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And episode 9 of this season is when they got married. So they've only been married for just a
few months.
Yeah. In terms of Little House in the Years. Sometimes, God, wasn't there an episode where Laura was pregnant, had the baby, and the baby died all in one episode?
Did that? Was it all one episode?
It was. I believe it was all one episode.
Or Laura.
But, I know. Yeah.
See, but that's the thing is, I always tend to go, oh, well, what about Laura? Yeah, let's talk about Laura instead of Mary. But Mary.
I know. Let's go back to Mary, though. Yeah. This is her episode.
But yeah, this is where Melissa Sue Anderson's like, I am the star.
And she shined. I understand why. So she was nominated for an Emmy the last season. And I understand why. Her acting ability was amazing in this episode, and I was really impressed.
So she was nominated for an Emmy for season 4.
She was for what is it called? I'll Be Waving.
Yeah.
As We Say Goodbye. I'm
a
Little House fan, but sometimes I get those titles wrong. But you know the episode.
I'll Be Waving as the Gang Does the Drive By, or something like that.
Right. So, yeah.
You know, the Little House gangs. So it's really an interesting period of time with Little House. And do you think, and I don't know if there was a consensus among the fans, do you think the fans wanted Mary to regain her vision?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just kind of curious, because spoiler alert, you know, Adam does regain his vision in the future.
Yeah.
So Mary's prayer actually comes true in this, but we'll get to it. I guess there's a lot to discuss. I'd say we kind of jump into this one a little bit because there is so much to discuss. Mary is in the opening scene. She's at the blind school. And I love this house, by the way. It's a beautiful, like, colonial.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, my dream. I mean, a lot to clean, but yeah, that house is amazing.
But the lawn is so dead that you never have to mow it. I don't know. It looks like a hot day. But
yeah, a hot day there in Simi Valley, California. Yeah.
And what do you think of Mary's teaching, her tonality?
So when she was teaching, I thought, wow, you know what? They had to memorize everything. Being blind, you just can't. I mean, maybe they can write and take notes. Like, I'm a huge
Yeah, there's
note taker.
Braille, but
There's Braille,
yeah.
but all the kids don't have like a Braille machine where they're taking notes. They had to memorize all of these dates, all of this history, and she has to do the same in order to teach. And that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's just, I wonder, I have to ask myself how important it is to know. It's, I don't know.
Yeah,
When you're at a
like
blind,
they.
it's important to know things, right? Of course. But I'm just wondering how important it is to know the things that she's teaching. And let's kind of poke our nose in here. Don't
Sure.
make any noise because otherwise she'll know you're in the room.
Now,
That's my bad blind joke, by the way. That's poor taste.
what was the territory called that Lewis and Clark were to explore?
Louisiana.
What was the year?
1821.
If I was in this class, I'd be like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, right. Yeah, she would never know.
Yeah, they would never know in a million years. Blah, 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 blah. Who was that? I'm not raising, what am I going to raise my hand?
Who said 1803?
I did.
Susan?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Susan, that's correct. You also remember who was president?
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson.
No.
Yes. Now, the Louisiana Territory, stretching west from the Mississippi River to the Continental Divide, was equally as large as all of the United States put together, and, well, there was very little anybody knew about it. President Jefferson had.
All right, so it's I'm already kind of zoning out. Her style of teaching is just to kind of recite facts and have them memorize it, which exactly is what you were saying. And I just have to wonder, I know these things are important. I just have to, I guess I question how important it is to memorize things instead of just knowing and understanding and applying it to your everyday life in 1879.
I was going to say, because nowadays they really don't teach that kind of stuff because you don't have to memorize it. It's all in your pocket. If you need to know the day Abraham Lincoln was shot, you just Google it.
It was like a Friday,
You
probably.
know?
Lee Harvey Oswald, right? See, that's the American education system here, folks. So we, Mary seems a very, very confused in one moment, and we could see on her face that she's distracted by the window, which is, of course, weird because Mary is blind. So she's kind of going towards it, and they're asking, they could tell something's wrong in her voice. One of the nosy students even asks the question, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, it's Susan.
Oh, was that? Yeah, that was Susan, yeah. Susan, of course, we'll never see again, probably.
No, but I think that is the same Susan from the wedding episode when her and Adam get married.
Oh, is it? All right. These episodes with the blind school, I have not really paid attention much to the students. But I will say that her students do, they're very diverse. So that's also very refreshing to see in a
Oh,
show that's
yeah.
depicting 1879 Minnesota. So here's Susan basically letting her know. And I kind of like the way Mary's dressed in this episode. I don't know how you felt about it.
Oh, I loved all of her clothes, especially when she's in Mankato. She looks so pretty. Yes, I
And
love all of her clothes.
her hair is a lot more tame this time around.
Yes.
I always liked
Yeah.
Mary's hair, but when she became the blind character, they did something to it. So I don't know, but in this episode, I think it's acceptable to me.
Yep.
Mrs. Kendall?
Oh, yes.
There is something wrong.
Susan has super blue eyes, though. I think there was a when they would do auditions, they would say you have to have striking blue eyes in order to get a role on this show, except for Melissa Gilbert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It just
E
seems,
everybody.
everybody, right? It's so odd.
Yeah. Yep. Any co-stars or anybody that comes on, they've got the yeah those crystal blue
Yeah,
eyes.
so crazy.
Isn't there?
Oh, just a little dizziness. That's all. I'll be fine.
You sure?
I'm sure. You go along now.
Yes, ma'am.
So she's definitely confused. She's like, I don't know, maybe I can see something. And it's kind of a great feeling, I would imagine. I would imagine if you're blind, of course, the one thing right. that you really want is, of course, your vision to come back. And you're determining the difference between light and dark. And I'm just going to play Doc's evaluation of her. And then you have an interesting fact that I'd love you to share about blind people. But here we go.
My knowledge in this field is very limited.
In most things, I think.
I know, right, Doc?
And if you look,
obvious.
If you look really closely, you could see he's stirring a glass. And I think it's morphine. No, I'm kidding. He's handing it to Albert. Here, have a sip of this, son.
You're going to love this later, buddy.
Trust me, you're going to love it.
But I must admit, there are signs.
I know it's true. I never believed that you would stay blind, no matter what anybody said.
Adam, do you realize what this will mean? Adam, we wouldn't have to live at the school anymore. We could get a house of our own.
Mary, I hope to God it's true. But you've all got to be prepared for the fact that there could be another explanation for this.
Well, how could there be? Seeing light is still seeing.
Watch.
Those are some heels she's wearing.
This is when it's strongest.
So she walks over to the window. The sun is, of course, shining on her face. And I think as a viewer, you're like, oh, my God, Mary's going to get her vision back. You know, this is, and it's wonderful. Now, why can she see? Or why is it that she thinks she can see?
Well, because she feels that light.
Right. And now, is this uncommon? You dug up some interesting facts about blind people.
I did. So I was curious to see if blind people could see light. So the little fact that I pulled up was while only 18% of people with significant visual impairments are actually totally blind, most can see at least perceived light. Mm. In other words, although they cannot see color or shapes or people, they can still tell the difference between light and dark.
So that's not a rarity, right?
No. Yeah. Only 18% of blind people cannot determine light and dark.
Hmm.
So
I
most
never
of
knew
them
that.
Can. I never thought about it until this episode.
Yeah. It's also one of my fears, you know, of course, I wear glasses and everything. I always feel as I get older, my vision gets worse and worse, but it's always that fear of, you know, losing one of your, you know, major senses. It's a really scary situation. And that's where I give the Mary character a pass in a way, because she really loses it. I mean, no pun intended. She really loses her mind in a lot of ways when she first loses her vision, and she's really feeling bad for herself. And she really pulls herself out of that with the help of Adam.
You know? Yeah, which I don't think I could. I would probably be the one just always sitting in that rocking chair, and I want everyone to do it for me. Mm-hmm. But I can't walk in the dark. Like my family makes fun of me. I cannot see in the dark. Mm. And I had cataract surgery like 5 years ago.
Did you?
And yes, I did. I was a very young candidate for cataract surgery, but yeah, I had cataract surgery. And after the surgery was done, something went wrong. And I can't see up close anymore.
Mm.
And I remember calling the doctor the next morning when I woke up, and I felt like Mary. I could not see. I couldn't see my phone. I couldn't see anything up close. And she said, oh, that's temporary. That'll go away. Well, it's been 5 years and I still can't see up close.
No. And is that something correctable?
Well, she did try correcting it with LASIK surgery, and that was unsuccessful. So it's just something I had to deal with. Like most people have to wear readers. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. It was just really scary because I've always been able to see up close and couldn't see far. Well, after the surgery, that was reversed. You know, I could see across the Grand Canyon now, but for me to see my cell phone is absolutely impossible.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. You go there for one thing and you, I guess it's not a perfect science.
No, it's not. And it was unfortunate because I just wasn't expecting it. And when I woke up that next morning and couldn't see, that was scary.
Now, on the topic, I'm sorry, go on.
No, you're good. Go for it.
No, I was saying, while we're on the topic of blindness and everything, I do want to mention, you wrote in your notes that I can't find the letter. I have it somewhere that a podcast listener actually reached out to me and that they're blind. And they laugh at my jokes when I goof on the blind, which is good because I don't really try to be mean. It's just kind of goofing on anybody. You know, it's like, I guess everybody gets picked on by me. So, but we also have, and this sounds like a joke, but we also have a deaf listener, which sounds like a joke, but the person is 90% deaf and they actually reached out to me because they use a device, kind of like a hearing aid, I guess, to listen to podcasts. But they wanted to know if we could caption the show, and it's something that I looked into, and it's one of the reasons why I want to kind of put the show onto YouTube, because YouTube has automatic captions.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so I'm playing around with it, and I have to – part of the problem is, and I've said this before on all of my other podcasts, I am a mumble mouth. So sometimes YouTube does not understand what I'm saying. So I think I have to work on my enunciation of things in order to be accurate.
Oh, so you've noticed that on YouTube that when they close, have you ever tried the closed captioning?
Yeah, it's automatic. You just upload it.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So it's accurate, but I think it could be more accurate.
Okay.
And I say "and" a lot. You know, it's like there are certain things you start noticing when you read your speech. But
mine would be, and she's giggling again. Yeah.
Yeah. In parentheses, giggles. No, yeah. No, you don't giggle too much. So it's just very interesting. You know, I never really thought of a deaf person wanting to listen to a podcast. And I guess it makes sense. You do want that opinion, whether it's about Little House on the Prairie or if it's about the news, you know, I thought that was, I thought that's pretty cool. But if you are listening to this podcast, and you have hearing issues, you know, I'm working on it. You'll be able to read the show if that's really what you want to do. And if you do, I apologize in advance. Because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a tough read. All right. So where do they go whenever they have to do something medical? They get the horses and they go to Mankato.
Yep. They're on their way to Mankato to see the specialist.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I think it's really exciting. There seems to be tension, in my opinion, between, let's see. I'm sorry, I missed my little spot here. All right, so Ma comes in to check in on Adam. Adam is in the kitchen of the blind school. I believe it's the blind school at this point, right?
Yes.
You would think this was the same kitchen that they had at Kelly, Caroline's or Nellie's. You know, it's such a large kitchen. So
yeah, and it might be on the soundstage. Yeah,
there seems to be something up between these two. There seems to be some type of tension between Ma and Adam. I don't know if you kind of sense that. Maybe I'm.
Oh no, you're absolutely right. And Ma is always pretty in tune when something's going on, when something's a little off. So I think she wants to go to the blind school and see how Adam's doing, how he's really feeling about this.
I think Ma likes to spend a lot of quiet time with Adam, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I don't blame her. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's kind of like, hey, he doesn't even know he's a good looking guy.
I know, but he is though. He's very handsome.
He's a great looking guy, but here we go. Enough of that talk. I'm kidding.
Hi. How's the cook doing?
Oh, all right, I suppose.
Well, I stopped by to see if I could help, but Hester Sue said that you could manage.
No, we can. Thanks anyway.
How was Mary this morning?
Excited.
Well, I guess we can't blame her.
No, I guess not.
Clumsy. You dropped the ball.
Let me give you a hand with this.
No, I can manage by myself. Sorry. I guess it's just all the excitement and Mary going away and all. I'm sorry.
I understand.
Men are supposed to make a mess in the kitchen anyway, right?
it just seems so self-deprecating, and he's really kind of falling into that feeling bad for himself type of situation.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. You know, he's like, damn, why couldn't it be me?
Well,
you know, secretly. I mean, of course you want your better half to be able to see again. That'd be amazing. But at the same time, it's like, well, why can't I?
Right.
And I can't remember. So he's been blind for a long time. I don't remember the story how he became blind, but
yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure in the back of his head, he would just, he also thinks, man, that would be great to see again. And then here's Mary, you know, skipping around. Oh, guess what? I might be able to see again.
Another thing,
everything's going to change and be so different for us.
Another thing to mention is this entire scenario is 100% fictionalized. Mary never married.
Correct.
Adam never existed, you know, so it's one of those kind of weird, fan fiction type situations. So here we are for the comic relief, because we're all going to, like, you know, start crying every 2 seconds here. We have Laura and Albert hanging out in the barn with the chickens.
Well, I was thinking that Mary and Adam will want a place of their own. So how about the old Edwards place?
It's practically fallen down.
We could fix it up, and it's so close to the blind school, it'll be perfect.
Now, did she say the what place?
I couldn't understand it either, but I do closed caption when I watch the videos for the podcast, and it says it's Mr. Edwards' old place.
Let's give that another listen, because it sounds like the Loomers' old place, and I don't remember him living in such a shack.
No, but there's a couple other times during the episode where they do say it was Mr. Edwards' old place. So, and that confirmed it. But I don't remember him ever living close to town, or there's a scene where they're painting and you can see the schoolhouse from where they're at.
It's like right in town.
Yeah, the whole town is gathering around watching them paint this crazy pink and purple house.
Which is actually pretty awesome, actually.
I know.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome. It's cool.
We actually have when I grew up, somebody did paint their house a lavender kind of color like this. And it was, I'm trying to remember, but it was like a mobster's family's house. Like they weren't the mobsters, but they had the same last name as the mobsters. I'm trying to remember that. It'll come to me. But that's what happens when you grow up in a Jewish Italian neighborhood.
Yeah, I was going to say, on Long Island, I guess that's pretty normal.
But I have to, you know, I haven't been to that area in particular in a long time. I'm curious if they kept the color. But it was like bright like that. It was like all like Pepto-Bismol type of.
Oh, oof. Boy.
So, how about the old Elmer's place?
The old Elmer's place. I'm going to say the Elmer's. But it's a shack, and I think they, believe it or not, they do make it look a lot better after painting it.
Yeah.
When they first get to it, it's like, what the heck? But here we go. We're going to just kind of take a look at the place.
What do you think? It's an improvement.
Not much.
Look at the roof. So? You have not had a swim to live in a place like this. We could cover it with sod.
I guess.
What is sod? I mean, isn't it like grass?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just dry grass and mud, maybe.
And this is where you want your sister to live.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But that was normal back then, though.
They had shingles.
To have the roofs with the sod.
I mean, they could just put more wood up there, I'm thinking. You know, I mean, these are like 2-inch gaps in the roof.
Horrible. And I was thinking, because I don't know what, I guess maybe that's something I could have looked up, but I don't know what sod is either. And I was thinking, well, once it rains, isn't it just going to all come through and make the house a muddy mess? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, does it fall into the category of, oh, they're blind, but Mary's going to get
her vision back.
Oh, I
know. One of them is. Yeah.
So it's just kind of,
Adam,
you know,
will never notice.
Yeah. Just it's very strange. So they get the idea to paint the house, which of course is, I don't know, like, why not? You know, it's like your kids, you have energy, right? Let's
spruce it up.
And of course they go to the Olsons to see if they could donate to this really amazing thing. I don't know who owns this property, but apparently it's just up for grabs.
Yeah.
Whoa, sorry.
I think at that point you got squatter's rights, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know how it worked over there. You'd think Edwards would have some land.
Yeah.
The audio is terrible for this episode for my copy. I'm sorry, it jumps up and down. I'm not really sure what's going on.
I did notice that. Yeah.
Sorry. So I'll just try to keep adjusting.
Pink and purple?
Yes. Pink and purple. And you're not giving that away.
Why not?
Because I'm saving it.
What for?
For someone to come along who has good taste. That is what for.
It'll take 100 years for that to happen.
1979, I would imagine those colors are actually kind of popular.
Yeah, they might be. Yeah.
So he's not wrong.
This gives me heartburn every time I look at these cans of your good taste taking up space on my shelf. You might as well get used to the idea. Out they go.
And you give me heartburn.
And they're just laughing. They're listening to them fight. They're having a real legitimate fight here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Laura and, oh my God.
Richie Adler.
Albert. Oh my God. He's my little boyfriend. Yeah. Those two are just cracking up because they don't ever get to see Ma and Pa fight. But when the Olsons fight, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Cause there's always that fun music playing in the background too.
There is. Yes.
Come on, kids. Nurse, I wouldn't be surprised if you might not even want it for free. I wouldn't blame you.
It's up to you. We want it.
Well, then take him away.
I didn't... This got lost on me before. I thought he just gave them 2 gallons. I'm like, it's a lot of coverage. But there's several gallons that he passed along. I just bought paint. Okay. Paint's not cheap.
Paint is not cheap, and it takes a lot to do just a little tiny bit.
I have to paint my garage and the garage door, like the entry. And it's the old paint. Somebody painted over the original 1925 paint, and it peeled because it's lead, you know? So I have to wear like a ventilator and scrape all this. It's, ugh.
Oh, my God, what a process.
So I'm going to have my kid do it. No,
right?
Go play with.
You know, it's summertime, kid. Here's your job.
You can eat the lead paint, you know. It's sweet.
But, just don't have any children.
and don't expect your sanity to stay. I think they did something like that. When they banned lead paint in poorer areas, kids would eat the paint or something like that on radiators. So when they banned it, they saw like a complete drop in mental illness and violent crimes in an area. I have to look into that. There's a whole thing with all of that.
That's bizarre. I've never heard of that.
I'm sure it's in New York. You know, everything's in New York. So it was just one of those kind of crazy things where it's like, what? So anyway, I'm sure this is full of lead and they're covered in it, which is kind of hilarious. And all right, so they're going to paint the house. It's very nice, very sweet, and I think it is kind of nice. Now, the reason why they asked for a donation is because I believe it was Albert who said that money is scarce, right? Scarce or scarce?
Scarce.
Doesn't seem right with me. But money is scarce, and they can't just kind of go and buy regular paint. So let's just remember that one little comment. Meanwhile, back in Mankato, they're staying at one of the nicest hotel rooms I've ever seen for them.
How can they afford such a nice hotel?
I don't know. They can't afford paint.
I don't understand that.
They can't afford paint, but they seem like they can afford other things. So
yeah, any time they go out of town, they're always in super nice hotels and restaurants. Oh, yeah. And they even went and saw a play once.
Well, let's,
like, where's that money?
Just remember, like, money is scarce. I'm not going to be able to ever say it. All right.
Did a little shopping while I was gone.
Oh, did you?
For what?
A little surprise for you.
What is it?
It's not seed. It's not it's not food for the horses or hay or whatever. It's a snow globe. Just so everyone knows. It's a lovely little snow globe. I love snow globes. I even helped design a snow globe when back in about 2000. And It's just the whole manufacturing process and everything is so quaint, and it's so nice to talk to the companies that create these things and the ones that do it properly. So, I don't know how much a snow globe would have cost back then. Maybe it's considered a real trinket, but I don't know. I'm the glass, the perfectly round glass, I would imagine would cost a little bit of money. So it seems like a real expensive type of gift. And Mary loves it. They kind of play a little bit. They're of course, very excited because if Mary gets her vision back, she'll be able to, of course, see the snow globe. And she misses seeing things. And they make a... They're even playing like a little bit of a role play type of thing where she's making believe she can see it. And I think it's very sweet.
It is very sweet. And the look on Pa's face is very encouraging because he's starting to believe that she might be able to see again as well.
Caroline and Charles want this just as much as Mary does. And
oh, absolutely.
That's why all of the conflicts are so odd. But Charles is will literally do anything for his children. I think if you're listening to this podcast, you know that. So it's just very sweet. He's doing literally anything he can to get her the best possible situation. And that comes out in a few comments in a little bit. But meanwhile, back in Walnut Grove, the house is starting to come together. I will say that the color is a tremendous upgrade than the gray-brown that the wood was. Here we go.
Sure is awful bright. It's already starting to hurt my eyes.
I don't know. I think it's going to be kind of pretty with the purple trim and green side.
Whoa, whoa. Settle down. Whoa. What's wrong with you? Easy now.
Good place for a blind person to live is where they're kind of... I don't know what's going on, actually. Are they trying to break the horse, or is people standing around looking? I've never seen this specific area in town. Have you?
No, they've never shot this angle in town before. But though I think the horse is scared of the colors. I think the horse is like, oh holy crap! That's what I gathered when I watched it.
You know what? That
the second time
that did not even occur to me. But I think you're 100% right. That's so funny.
Yeah.
The horse is afraid of the color.
That's how they acted anyway. It was like another silly little comedy relief.
And here's Albert throwing down a little bit of truth.
Besides, Mary hasn't seen anything in so long.
Uh-huh, it's so funny.
Especially colors. She's bound to like it.
I still think you're making a mistake.
A mistake?
About Mary being able to see again.
But she will.
You don't really know that. Admit it. Albert, think of how you're going to feel if Dr. Burke tells her she's going to stay blind.
She's going to see again, and that's all there is to it. And I don't want to talk about this.
All I'm trying to tell you is...
I don't care what you're trying to say. Just get back to work.
Oh, boy. Someone's a little bossy. Somebody doesn't like to hear the realities of things.
No, she doesn't, because she's extremely optimistic that her sister's going to be able to see again and do things that they always wanted to do together.
And they're all really ready for this. Like, we're really, really ready. Now, we get to see an 1879 eye exam, which I'm going to say was probably normally a little bit more involved, but maybe not.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know. Yeah. I always picture there being more involved. But I was kind of curious. He's like, you know, look at the light and examining her. And it's just kind of weird. Like, the room itself is pretty dark. And it wasn't until 1899. And this really blew me away that the first flashlight was even invented. So that's kind of late, in my opinion. I would imagine.
Yeah.
I would imagine you'd have at least a lamp or something. And in that sense, wouldn't you be able to just put the light near the eye to see if the retina itself reacts?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing like that is being done. He's just basically looking. And remember that money is scarce. So
I know, right? Don't forget, this is the Ingalls.
Right. And here's a comment because the doctor asks, can you stay on another day? Dr. What was his name? Froome?
I'm not sure, because there were two doctors named. One wasn't available, so this one came along, and I don't remember this one's name.
Dr. Fromm, actually. Played. I looked him up really quickly. He's played by an actor named Nathan Adler. He has since passed away, but he was also in the episode Days of Sunshine, Days of Shadow Part 2. He played Mr. Jackson. But he was also in one of my favorite TV shows from 1982, and that's Voyagers, where he played Albert Einstein.
Oh, okay. And he was a regular character on that show?
No, he just Voyagers was a time travel show where basically only two reoccurring characters. And that's about it. I mean, they would just kind of go to different parts of history and try to correct history. So Albert Einstein, he played Albert Einstein. But he played in a couple of things, Hill Street Blues, some stuff I've never heard of that seems kind of interesting for the time, like KGB, The Secret War, Superboy, the TV series from 1991. But he does seem like a very familiar-looking character actor, and I thought he was pretty good. But he does ask them to stay on and come back. And this is the conversation. And Pa's response is one of a very wealthy man, I think.
Yeah.
Until I move away.
Mr. Ingalls, could you and Mary manage to stay on for an extra day?
Sure.
I want to make some comparative evaluations on Mary's examination. Then tomorrow we can conduct some tests. I know how anxious you both are, but if you'll try to be patient, I'm sure it'll work to your advantage.
Well, that's no problem at all. We'll stay a week, a month, whatever.
Well, let's say tomorrow afternoon at 3.
All right, that's fine.
I thought he was going to say, hold your horses, but I just have one day.
Yeah.
A month. I mean, right. That's holy moly. Stay a month. What is this guy? He's just throwing money around. He's, you know, but so they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Now, also, just remember, money is tight. It's not just kind of flowing around. But here we are. We're walking in town. And there's another thing that Pa says.
How about if I buy you some lunch? As long as we're in the big city, might as well splurge a little bit.
Splurge? What are we talking about, man? a month? A week? A month? Yeah. Splurge? Snow globes? I mean, what's next? Holy cow. Meanwhile, they're begging for paint at the Mercantile.
Right, and I'm kind of curious what episodes are coming up where they... That they're poor again. They have no money to do whatever needs to be done. And it's like, oh, it's all thanks to Pa and his splurging on his snow globe and lunch and extravagant hotel rooms.
Order whatever you want, Mary.
Yeah.
So we're back at Walnut Grove again. And Harriet is looking at the house, the Pepto-Bismol house. And... the reaction from, I forgot her name. Is this Mrs. Whipple?
I believe it is.
And her response to it, I thought, was very funny.
Oh, Matilda!
Oh, it's Matilda. Is Matilda Whipple?
Hmm. I don't know if she ever had a first name.
Now she does.
Matilda.
Weesh.
Now, I would say that is rather interesting, wouldn't you say so?
Interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Now, to eat an apple out in public is such a not ladylike thing to do. But I don't know, when you're in Walnut Grove, I guess, you do what the locals do, I guess.
See, that's probably the worst exhibition of bad taste I'll ever see. How could anyone pick that dreadful color?
I agree with you completely, of course. But after all, they're just children. Well, I was just trying to be kind. You know, they really come from a family that doesn't have very much culture.
She's picking her teeth. It's the best. And she just looks at her picking her tooth. It's so funny.
Hi, Mrs. Olsen.
Oh, hello, Laura.
Yeah?
This is another thing I'm starting to notice is that Harriet always talks with food in her mouth. Always.
Well, now we know where Willie gets it from.
Yeah, it's true.
It's funny how she was talking about people with culture. And yeah, you're right. And there she is digging apple out of her teeth as she's talking about that.
I love it.
What do you think?
Oh,
Well, I just think it's lovely.
Oh, good. I think so, too.
And I don't care what Mr. Olson says. The colors that you picked are just perfect. Well, I gotta get back to work. See ya.
Yes. There's the see ya, which, of course, was not a period correct thing to say.
Yeah.
But I love these little things, and you get Mrs. Whipple giving her, like, the look of, like, oh, no culture, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So Laura gets a letter. This is, I believe it's also Mrs. Whipple who comes running out and gets a letter, and it's big news.
They have to stay over for some more tests. I told you, she's going to see. I told you I was right. Come on, let's tell Adam on the way home.
Is that the blacksmith? So they just run past the blacksmith, I think. Interesting. Stay away from their kids.
Oh, yeah.
especially you, Albert. So let's see. We're going to inform Adam, and it's all craziness, and it's more of a visual thing, but I think you'll hear the kind of response. And I always like the kind of sweeping music at this point. I also love the inside of the blind school. It's such a nice place.
Oh, it is. I do love it.
Oh, Tester Sue?
You know, their front door, I don't know if you had noticed it. I would love to replace my front door with this kind of door. It's essentially a door without the top panel. It's a clear window, but they have a curtain on the inside.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah,
okay.
I just love that style.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, we have a mudroom where it's like the outside door is just one solid thing of clear glass. And then that's always open. Like you could walk in there, and I guess a hobo could live in there if they wanted. And then it gets to our front door. But I would just love to, although our front door is nice and everything, it's very modern, I would love to replace it with something like that. I
think that would. Well, isn't your house old? You have an older home, right?
Yeah, like, it's 95 years old, but it's updated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Our bedroom doors are all original, and like bathroom door and the doorknobs are all original and restored. But
very cool.
But they don't like the bathroom door. It's kind of crooked because it just doesn't sit right. So we had a carpenter come and do his best to reset it and make it so that it swings correctly. But yeah, 95 years, and not to continue complaining, but we just replaced our water main, which was the original water main from 1925. And
oh my goodness.
Cost a fortune, but that's beside the point. When they cut the pipe, the Jose turned to me and he said, "Look in there." And I'm like, I wanted to throw up. And I'll post a picture of it if you have any interest, of 95 years of buildup inside of a freshwater pipe.
Goodness.
It's crazy insane. And the water that's coming out of my faucet now, because they were really awesome and they included in the price a whole house filter. The water is like, there's no reason to buy bottled water anymore. It's like, it's really, really good water. So we're very happy with that. So it was
fantastic.
A nice upgrade, and it was way overdue, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's just crazy over time. It can get kind of nasty. So things are updated, but some things aren't.
So do you guys still have like the creaks and cracks of the home, like the old home too, or?
You know, our walls are plaster. So of course stress cracks will happen. We had some in my son's room when we first bought the house, and I learned a lot about patching plaster, and I just looked at it a week ago. I painted it maybe 7 years ago, and there's no other stress crack. So whatever I did was correct.
Nice.
But over the years, the work that previous owners have done have shown some kind of hairline stress crack. So I think I'm going to have to go back and do what I did in his room, which is fine. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even that bad. Paint and these type of materials are so much better nowadays. And I just feel like, the only thing I'm afraid to do ever in this house is to drill a hole in the wall because plaster is so crumbly.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, hanging a picture in my house is a real task. Like I have to hang, I have to hang these shelves in my son's room for the past 6 months. And I'm just like, I'm so petrified to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
I just know I'm going to crack the wall or something.
Yeah.
But anyway. but yeah, the house definitely has its quirks. All right. And actually no ghost sighting since the water was replaced on Monday.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So that's good.
But it's only been a week though.
She
might appear. Was she living in the water?
Well, I don't know if you saw my post. I saw the appearance of this entity twice for the first time the night before they came.
Oh, okay.
And I saw it near where they would be working. So that was interesting.
Yeah, so I did see the post. I didn't realize that that's when the picture was taken.
No, I didn't take a picture.
Oh, no, I mean of the picture, but of the, you talking about it.
I've been talking about it, but I did make a post just a few days ago about, because I was moving stuff in my basement, and I'm like, I saw something, like a shadow out of the corner of my eye, and I turned, I'm like, that's what it looked like, kind of. And later that day I was sitting on my couch and I noticed it again at the top of the stairs. Then I noticed that at the top of the stairs, two floors below, is exactly the location of where I was in the basement. So that was,
whoa, that's pretty interesting.
And then I started thinking about it. And then right next to that location is the chimney, which, you know, of course travels through the whole house. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm not going to say I'm fully convinced that we have a ghost, but if we do, it's something that is just a residual energy. It's not what a lot of people refer to as an intelligent haunting. So it's just a reoccurrence of the same thing over and over again. Listen to On the Odd podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know stuff about this from your other podcast, On the Odd, exactly.
Yeah, kind of. On the Odd is a bit on hiatus, but if you do want to learn about these kind of paranormal things, check out our other podcast, Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. But also coming soon is Retro TV, if I can get off my butt and finish it up. And your son donated his amazing efforts to a really, really cool logo that we will be using. And all of that. So I'm really excited about Retro TV.
I am too.
Believe it or not, Dottie Cashin is going to come on for an episode. She's going to, we're going to review an episode of The Waltons.
Oh, good for her, because I have no interest in The Waltons, like whatsoever, none. And so go for it, Dottie.
Yeah. And what I'm kind of hoping for Retro TV is, even if you reach out to people and you did an episode with people, you know what I mean? Like, if we got everybody to like start doing their own thing and together, you know, I don't mind not being involved.
Yeah. One of our listeners, Vanessa Cashman, she's interested. She's all, hey, if you ever want to co-host for Retro, I'm game. It's like, okay, that'd be cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. We have so many cool people in that group, and, we have to use them. We're going to use them up. They're talents.
Yep, we are. Exactly.
All right, so here we go. We're going to let Adam know the good news.
He just went to his room. Thanks. What's going on?
Adam!
Oh, God.
You know, you scared the daylights out of me.
We're sorry, but we got a telegram from Pa. Well, don't you want me to read it?
Matthew Labrador's hair is crazy. It is crazy.
Shaggy. Very shaggy hair.
And I will say that, what's his name? Boomer?
Linwood.
Linwood. It's a good name, but what kind of name is this? Linwood also, he has the Michael Landon cut. The over-the-air thing must have been, like, a big thing. I think I had it in 1979.
Yeah, in the 70s? That's totally 70s look.
It's like the Peter Criss or something.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's weird. Laura goes and hands him the letter.
Oh, here, I know. Here you go, Adam.
And he just kind of raises his hands like, okay, read it. This has got to be the most frustrating aspect of being blind, is knowing that you're a smart person, but you need, you know, to have somebody read this letter for you. It's got to be a tough situation.
Dear family, first visit to doctor encouraging. More tests needed.
We'll notify as soon as anything definite. Love to all, Pa. Isn't that wonderful news?
Yeah, the best.
We gotta go tell Ma. Bye! Bye!
Comment down, Adam.
Oh,
he's
I know.
Upset. He's sad.
He was irritated before they even came in. And so, yeah, he's just having a lot of personal struggles right now.
There's a lot of conflict, I think.
Yes.
He's an attorney. I mean, not to say that Mary's not deserving of Vision. It's just, you know, they're both deserving of it. They're both, you know, she's a teacher. He's a teacher and an attorney. And it's actually, is he an attorney in this? Or did he go back to school to become
I don't know the timeline on that one. I don't remember.
Damn it, Leah. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. I know.
No,
people are going to chime in and be out, is she really a Little House fan or is she faking it?
We're faking it. I don't even know the show, to be honest with you. I never saw an episode before I started the podcast. People go, it sounds like it. Yeah, well, you're listening, aren't you? So yeah. Here we go. We're in the Little House, and I noticed there's a lot of soot on the mantelpiece. I don't know if you got that, but it just looks like somebody had a little bit of a smoky fryer.
Huh. No, I didn't notice.
But here we go. We have a little bit of a concern. We're going to get Ma in the mix.
Ma? Is something wrong with Adam?
Why do you ask?
I don't know. It's just that when I told him that Mary had to stay for more tests, he just didn't seem too excited. I don't like it. Something's wrong.
He probably just doesn't want to get his hopes up too high.
Sounds like Albert. Huh. What do you think?
Well,
Albert's in the same room, too, which is kind of funny. It's like you're talking about him like he's not there.
I think with Dr. Brooke asking her to stay over an extra day. Well, I mean, if he hadn't found any improvement, he'd have known that right away, it seems to me.
So everybody's hopes are getting up, of course. I mean, this is exciting, especially for 1879, where things don't get better. You know, they just
only like miracles happen back in those days.
Yeah. So we're in the church or schoolhouse or court at times.
This time it's the church.
Yeah, and I don't know. When I was younger, I saw this episode, and I remember thinking that this was such a boring scene. And this time I watched it, and I'm like, oh, you know, I kind of got really emotional about it. It's kind of a long clip, but I think that there's so much here.
It's worth it. It's very powerful. Yeah,
exactly. And I think we can all relate to jealousy, to saying, well, why not me? Or why me? Or you almost want to hope that something good doesn't happen for somebody. And you know it's wrong. And you know that in reality you don't feel that way, but you kind of do. And, you know, and even spouses, you know, you just hear this type of stuff. And I think if they had a real broken marriage, then they would have this kind of weird codependency where they, you know, would just hope for misery at all times. Anyway, I'll just let the clip speak, and it's about 3 minutes long, but I think it's well worth it, so I'm going to play the whole thing.
Okay.
May I pray with you, if it's all right?
Yeah, sure.
What is it?
I can't talk about it.
It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Ever since Mary told me she was going to see again, instead of being able to share in it, I've just been afraid. If she could see, She'd be able to go anywhere and do anything she wanted. I'd just be a burden to her. I should be happy for her, but I can't. I don't know if I want her to see again.
Oh, you don't mean that. Oh, there's no denying that if Mary regains her sight, your lives will change. There'll be adjustments. But not the kind you're thinking of there.
But you'll be able to see.
And being blind together isn't your strongest bond with Mary. Your strongest bond is your love. And do you honestly believe if you could see again, it would change that?
I wonder if we'll be tested on that in the future.
I'm curious.
Yes.
See, what you don't understand is that for Mary, the greatest gift of regaining her sight would be that she could give more to you. Adam, sighted or blind, Mary would be lost without you. Don't you know that?
So Ma, of course, right there with Pa, always being able to say the right thing at the right time. I take back what I said. I don't think they're flirting.
Not in this scene. But it's just amazing that in his absolute weakest moment, while he's praying in church, he's his most strong by admitting how he really feels to Mary's mother. I mean, of all people.
Well, that, I think, just shows what kind of woman she is and the kind of relationship that they've developed between this, you know, son-in-law and mother-in-law.
Yeah.
So I think it's very sweet.
It is sweet. And the quote that she gives is just amazing. Being blind together is not your strongest bond. Your strongest bond is your love. And that's like, oh, that actually got me.
Yeah. It definitely made me feel like, wow, I was, as a kid, I really had no idea what the hell was going on. So, but it's all about to come crashing down, Leah. it's all ending.
Well, welcome to Little House on the Prairie. Yes.
Because we're about to give her, you're about to get tested. This is, this is where things get, I almost said dark, but that just didn't seem appropriate.
But bump. Yeah.
So here we go. Basically, the doctor is going to reflect the sunlight into her eyes and let her know, do you see it or you don't see it? Pretty simple, pretty easy. And here we go. I'm going to play it just because the music is interesting and the audio from it I just found to be somewhat interesting.
What you do is shine some reflected sunlight into your eyes. It will be a very strong light, and I just want you to tell me when you see it. Ready?
Yes.
All right. Do you see that?
Yes.
That?
Yes.
That?
Now, he's shining a bright light in Melissa Sue Anderson's face in real life. You know, it's not a reflection of the sun, I'm sure. But her eyes are not blinking.
I noticed that, too.
Crazy, right?
I'm just wondering, did she wear contacts? Like
sunglass eye contacts? Is that a thing?
Or, I'm trying to think, like you would use in movies or something like that. I don't know if they had that back in the 70s.
I don't know. It doesn't look like
where it would blur it so much where it wouldn't affect her eyes extracting. And I don't know. I was curious about that too.
Maybe they said, like, look, you don't blink, you get an extra $5,000.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blink.
Come on, earn that Emmy.
Right.
Yes.
That?
Yes.
And that time, these last times, he's not shining the light in her face. And I think instead of looking at Mary, everyone is looking at Pa.
Oh my God. Yes. Because yeah, he looks so excited at first when she's saying, yes, I could see that light.
Yeah.
And then when the light's no longer showing and she's still seeing yes, Pa's face is just, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And you were right about the music. David Rose did a great job reflecting the emotion with Pa.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And how about that?
Yes.
Now, I've taken the light off you. Describe to me exactly what you're seeing.
Nothing now, but I could see the light.
Mary, would you mind waiting outside for a few minutes? There's some things I want to talk to your father about.
Namely, that you're lying. Not that you're lying. You're just not being, you're not regaining your vision. I mean, it's...
Well, she's an adult. She's married. Why does the doctor have to talk to Pa in private?
Because I think Mary's kind of fragile. Also, you know, 1879, women, yeah. You know, they're not smart.
That's true. And she's only 16. So maybe that's true. That's a thing too. Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's more like, yeah, you're right though. I mean, it's why not just, I mean, she's a teacher, she's married, she's, you know.
Yeah, a woman. But it did make a good scene when Pa had to tell her. So maybe that was why.
Well, first the doctor has to tell Charles.
Yes.
And I love the doctor's lab coat. I think it's identical to the ones that they wore up until the 50s.
Yeah, it's very professional. I think maybe Doc Baker would do a better job if he had a lab coat like that.
It'd be nice, but he likes to stick to his black Amish suits.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I don't understand. She could see the light. Now,
what Mary is experiencing is a known phenomenon, but relatively rare.
See, that's where I don't think it's accurate. I think it's not as rare as you think because, you know, you could feel the sunlight on your face. You know, it's if
yeah,
he's
and it
using
makes sense.
Candles for light, of course you can feel the heat from the candle.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's but at the same time, you found out that many blind people can distinguish light and dark.
Correct. So I think he's wrong there.
I went to the same school as Doc Baker, but stayed there for another 3 months. So now he's, you know, Mankato doctor.
And it has nothing to do with actual light. It could happen spontaneously in total darkness or by suggestion. Now, when Mary stands in the sunlight, she's not responding to the brightness, only to heat. Which then suggests the light she appears to be seeing. Now, reflected light, however, is of an almost imperceptible heat intensity unless highly concentrated.
This is very much like an episode of Dragnet where they explain to you what's going on, but it's untrue. So I'm just going to skip over this part.
Right.
I'm going to skip over the part where he goes, oh, and you can pick up your bill on the way out.
We don't have any money. We're the Ingalls.
We don't accept chickens. yeah, that was one of those kind of things. And also, this doctor has a very light blue eyes.
Of course he does.
So, like, what is up with that? If you have blue eyes, you were on Little House. That's just the way I felt. So we get back to... Should I play the part where Mary gets the news?
If you want to. It's more visual, but...
Yeah, I mean, basically she walks in and she's like, Dr. Froom? And he just Charles breaks the news to her. You're not getting better. And it's like, that's impossible. And she, of course, is unaccepting of it. And it's very sad. It's just one of those kind of reality checks, and she kind of loses it there a little bit. But back at the little house, they ring the doorbell. Just kidding, they don't have a doorbell. And Alice is there. I think this is the first time we're seeing Alice, right?
Yeah, we haven't seen her yet.
And her face makes me think she read the mail.
They always do.
That's messed up. Come on.
Well,
you can't do that. It's illegal now.
Well, it was a it was a telegram, wasn't it?
Yeah, you fold it. You don't read.
Mail. So yeah, she shouldn't have, but yeah, of course she did.
And she doesn't even hide the fact that she read it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Alex, come on in.
If I had to deliver this kind of news, I would probably, like, as soon as she opened the door, throw it in there and run.
And see ya.
See ya, yeah.
Sit down. I just put on some water. We'll have some tea.
Tea? What about coffee? Ma's apron is so clean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I'm sorry,
I read it. Jeez.
But it was nice that she was there for her.
100%. If anybody's going to read my mail, I want Alice Garvey to read my mail.
Yes.
So they're embracing, they're best friends, and Alice is really there for her. The kids come in. It could be any news. It could be, God forbid, Pa died or something, but it's not. They, of course, say it's Mary.
Oh.
And this is where I think you start seeing that Caroline wanted this just as much for Mary as Mary did.
Oh, absolutely. It's her daughter. Yeah. You know, she wants the best for her, and they had so much hope that it might happen.
Let's be real here. Mary's the smart one. She could do much more in 1879 with vision than Laura will with her vision. That's me just being mean, of course.
Molly, finish the house. You've got to come see.
She hates that paint. She will not look.
I am not.
And the sweeping music, of course.
Yeah, cue the Laura running.
Yeah. Why didn't they film the orchestra? I swear to God. And I love the way Bandit is just sitting there. Laura goes running. Bandit's like, it's too hot to run.
I know. It's like, oh, there she goes again. I'll catch up with her later.
Right. He's literally just laying there like the laziest dog I've ever seen in my life. Barely moves his head to follow her. I'm going to go chase some chickens. So here we are. Pa just made a pot of coffee. And Mary is just kind of... Mary's had a tough life, of course. You know, Mary's Four Eyes, Gil Gerard. You know, a lot of bad things have happened to Mary. And here she is. She had her hopes up. And I think it's just time for Pa to lay down a little bit of truth.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of tough love.
Yeah, which is Pa, you know, that's Pa's job.
Mary, we knew from the beginning.
It's not because of me. It's Adam. I know how this must hurt him.
Well, I think the first thing you ought to do, starting right now, is start being honest with yourself and stop pretending that it's Adam you feel sorry for.
That's the Pa tone, right? That's the...
Yes.
I'm going to be really, you know, I'm getting a little tired of this. Type of tone. Even Pa's hat's kind of clean. A little too clean.
What is?
It's not. You're feeling sorry for yourself. I can't say that I blame you, but stop lying to yourself about it.
No, it is Adam.
It's Adam, huh? All right, if you had a choice... If you had a choice and only one of you could see again, who would you pick?
What?
Come on, who would you pick? Would you pick you or Adam?
I...
Oh, come on, Mary, you'd pick yourself and you know it. And you wouldn't be doing it for Adam. I mean, in the name of God, just say it one time. I wanted to see again for me. Just say it. I wanted to see again for me.
wanted to see him.
He broke her. He did it. Good job, Pa.
I know, seriously. The writing in this episode is tops, though.
That's what I mean. Like, they were really trying so hard to develop Mary into so many different types of characters. Mm-hmm. It might have been the downfall of the Mary character, actually. Too much. I mean,
of her being blind or
just her overdramatic moments. I mean,
oh, okay. Yeah.
I can't think of too many times where I consider Mary fun. Can you?
No.
Right?
Like, for reals.
She's either misery or getting cheated on or crying about
just
something.
Just at the very beginning of the title of the show, when her and Mary, or when her and Laura are running down the hill, that's the only time she's having fun. You're right.
I mean, you know, all right. The hot air balloon episode, right? She seems.
Oh my God, that's the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's early Mary is better, but later Mary is pretty tragic always.
There's more. I mean, this doesn't even top the cake yet. Just wait, Mary. You still got more tragedy coming.
There's very few times I could think of where Mary is just having fun. So even when she punches somebody, it's funny to see, but it's really kind of aggressive. You're not going to find Mary painting a house purple. That's all.
Right.
Or the Fool's Gold episode or any, you know, even daydreaming like Carrie. So anyway, it's just, I have a feeling they wanted Mary to fall down the air shaft because it would definitely suit her character more. But Carrie won the arm wrestle, so. So she's going through some crap. I mean, of course, who wouldn't go through this?
Right.
They're coming home, and I find it so interesting that we're all going to ignore what we just went through. Like, there's no talking about this. So, all right, here we go. They're pulling up to the blind school, and everybody's so happy and jolly. There's no, I mean, it's okay to be sad that you didn't get the thing that you wanted, I think.
Right, but you just don't want to bring her down anymore. And
I guess.
That's their coping mechanism, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Everybody, they're here!
Sorry.
Ma, one more step.
Ma. Welcome home, Mary.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Albert. Adam?
Carrie does not say a word.
They told her not to. Just keep your mouth shut, Carrie.
Carrie's playing the game. It's like, if I don't say anything, she doesn't know I'm here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm right here.
Adam cleans up nicely too. I love the way he dresses on the show. I mean, it's just something about his whole character, and I think it is very sweet that everybody's welcoming her home, kind of, you know, making it a little bit of an event. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
Welcome home, darling.
It's so good to be home.
I want y'all to know there's no need to talk about what's happened. I'm no worse off now than I was before I left.
I can't say the same for, like, Pa's bank account. I don't know why he's paying for this, but... like, I'm married, I'm a woman, I have a job, but Pa's going to pay for everything. But I think that it's a terrible decision to say that there's no need to communicate or discuss this terrible situation. And, it, you know, if she had regained her vision, it would have affected all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that it's okay to discuss these things. And they're like, oh, she's so strong.
But they have discussed it. Not all together, but privately. Her and Pa discussed it.
Pa yelled at her, but yeah.
No. But they've all came to terms kind of separately, just not all together.
But I'm going to play a little bit more of this clip.
No better, but no worse. Ma, where's Laura? I brought her something.
She took the news so hard she didn't want to be here.
I'm pretty sure I know where she is.
Will you take me?
Sure.
You want me to come with you?
Well, you best get back to your students, husband. It's bad enough I've been gone. You men wouldn't understand sister talk anyway.
Oh. This way.
Adam doesn't trust Albert. Want me to go along with this one? You might pick your pockets. So Laura's in the, the Willy Wonka set. it's so purple. It's crazy.
Mary.
The only thing that would have been better is if they painted the floor purple. It's like, it's an awesome clubhouse.
Hey now.
Oh, it's perfect.
What's this all about?
I was just so sure of it, that's all.
I know. I was too. It's a good lesson. Don't ever count on anything until you know for sure.
Now, I don't agree with this, right? It's kind of like a good lesson is don't have hope. You know, it's okay to want something and hope for it. And then feel bad when you don't get it. I mean, it's, I think that this is not a great message, you know, and it's in line with the Mary character, just misery.
Yeah. And it's hard not to do. Like, me and my husband had the conversation last night. So I showed you online that puppy dog that we want really bad, but there's no guarantee. And I can't stop talking about the dog. He's like, he's all, you need to chill out.
Yeah.
He's all, you cannot get your hopes up, but in my heart, it's like, but it's ours, you know? So same thing.
I went through the same thing before we got the two dogs that we have, and we were going to adopt a beagle, and it kind of just fell through, and I was really, really hurt by that. But, you know, it always works itself out at the end and everything. Also, having a dog is a big, tremendous pain in the butt. Are you going to travel with the dog? Having two dogs is even worse. But
oh yeah, no, one will be plenty.
But would you travel with the dog?
When we go camping,
that's what I mean.
Definitely.
Like, you guys have the spanking new RV and RV life. And I as long as you would do that, I don't see there being a problem. I vote yes, but. You know what? There's always dogs out there. There's always a dog to find. So even if that one doesn't work out, don't lose hope.
Absolutely. And that's how I feel about everything. Every single thing in life happens for a reason. I mean, and sometimes you don't know the reason at the moment, but everything always works out.
Yeah.
So.
And we might actually in this clip see one of the first documented regifting of all time.
I just couldn't do that. I wanted you to see so bad. I wanted you to be able to do all the things that you always planned to do.
All right, now.
What did she plan to do that she hasn't done? She became a teacher. That's basically it, right? She hasn't had a kid yet.
She
could do that without vision. People don't even need lights for that. So I'm just kind of curious, like, I don't know, what did she, I guess with the vision, of course, it just makes things a little bit easier, especially in 1879.
It's enough. Feeling sorry for me or yourself?
Or Adam.
Hey, I'm the one that's blind, you know, and you better get used to it because that's the way it's going to be. Laura, before I went blind, I planned to teach. Well, I'm a teacher. Before I went blind, I had a wonderful family. I still do, plus a wonderful husband. And a sister I love very much.
I love you too.
You in here right now?
Yeah, I'm gonna be okay.
I brought you something. Sorry I didn't wrap it.
Now, this is a lie. She did not get this for her.
That is a lie.
Oh, my God.
It's beautiful. Whatever made you think of this?
Oh, I don't know. I just knew it'd be something you like.
More lies.
Oh, I do.
It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my whole life.
Another lie.
Yeah, too bad you can't see it, Mary. It's awesome.
It's the worst. It's like cracked, you know, has no water in it. It's like leaking.
I know, like Paul lied to Mary the whole time.
Oh, that's terrible. It's really one of those magic eight balls. Actually, that would be kind of cool. Have that on the prairie. But I don't know, Mary's just kind of re-gifting. They have a little bit of humor.
Sweet.
A little bit of humor coming. This Mary gets in a halfway decent joke. By the way, what's that music all about? The, you know?
I don't know, but yeah, speaking of Willy Wonka house, that is like Willy Wonka music. That's more 1970s than anything.
I'm taking a little screenshot of this with her holding the Magic 8 Ball with the purple background and everything. It totally looks like a scene from Willy Wonka. It's totally bizarre.
It does.
Fresh paint, I smell?
Yeah.
But isn't this the old Edwards place?
Ah, there you go. The old Edwards
place. See, she's place. Very clear. Yeah.
Well, who in the world would want to fix up a place like this?
Well, Albert and I thought it would make a nice clubhouse.
More lies. A lot of lies in the last minute.
Oh. Well, what colors are you painting?
Pink and purple.
Pink? And purple?
Yeah.
You know, Laura, I'm kind of glad I can't see it. Hey, come on. The whole family's waiting in school.
And that's it. The end. Very sweet.
Yes, no. I love the ending with her and Laura.
Yeah, and actually, if you look at the very end, I don't know if you have it in front of you, they did cover the entire top with lawn.
With the sod, yes, with the green.
Yeah, so it is sod. So I guess maybe if you put hay underneath, it kind of keeps the water from... I don't know. I have to look into that.
I don't either. But that's what their soddy was made out of. I mean, I think that's why it was called a soddy.
Yeah.
Because it was just made with that sod.
You know, it kind of looks like the Little House. You know, the shape of this entire thing and the way it looks. If it was made by somebody who they were just described, they were just told what it looks like. It's weird that it's two buildings as well. Two structures that are completely different. But all in all, I think this is a nice episode. This is an episode I don't recall it playing too often when it was first in syndication when I was a kid. But I thought this was a sweet episode.
Yeah, and I do. I remember this episode a lot. I really do. I enjoyed it.
Well, Leah, I want to thank you so much for getting together for this episode of The Enchanted Cottage.
Yes, I was very honored. I had a great time today.
Yeah,
doing
me
this
too.
Episode.
And you did upgrade your audio just for the show, and I can't say how much I appreciate that. You just sound so much better. It's amazing.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah, I can't wait to hear it.
And you'll hear it soon.
Yay!
But yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, please come over and check us out on Facebook. Just look for One at Grovecast. Leah's always hanging out there. I'm always hanging out there, and all the others, the cast of favorites. And
us crazy characters.
Yes, and sometimes we get into really nasty fights. We don't. Not really.
No.
But I am working on the whole thing with getting each and every episode onto YouTube, which is a bit of a struggle because of copyright and all that stuff as well. So I have to figure out what to do in that sense, but we'll figure it out eventually. But
I hope so. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think just for the people who, if they do want to read through the episodes, just be kind of interesting. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting One at Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/One at Grovecast. Any support is appreciated.